Want to jump off of something that Kingsley, how many of you appreciated Kingsley coming in and sharing with us? How many love that couple and the word they shared? As Kingsley was talking last Sunday about the voice and the word, the voice and the word, and he said, listen, there are some voices that sometimes we find ourselves listening to. It captured my heart again about the fact that God's got a great plan, but the enemy has a plan also. And in that plan, he wants to seduce. Everyone say seduce. He wants to seduce the people of God. Not just the people of God, but he wants to seduce who will ever listen to his voice. And so we're going to spend, I want to start off in the New Testament real quick. And then we're going to jump over to the Old Testament. And we're going to listen as, again, we're talking about possessing the land. That I believe that this year God wants us to not just be happy with all that we've done, but to be able to take the heaps. Listen to me, church. These heaps are not there just so we can go, woohoo, look how blessed we are. No, we're to walk in our church and our lives to live in the overflows that we can bless those. Think about what you can do if you've got heaps. You know, the very first weekend I ever came to East Texas, talk about heaps. The first weekend I ever came, you know you might live in East Texas when you come to church and the pickup truck is full of sweet potatoes. Do you remember that, Miss Robin? That November, we, I don't know whose truck it was, but someone was there at church and they had a pickup truck like this with a mound of sweet potatoes, and they said, please do not leave with at least two sackfuls or however much you want to carry home of sweet potatoes. That's abundance. That's overflow to be able to bless others. That's why, and again, you know, I didn't have John share that story because the church is hurting financially. Church is doing awesome financially. But I want to encourage us to continue to be givers and to understand these principles of the Word of God, that we're blessed when we give and that we can't outgive God. And so, I don't know where I was going with that, but that's all right. So I'm in Luke chapter 19. I'm going to start off there in the New Testament. And here's the plan. Jesus said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's good news, amen? Amen. That he wants, that he's not only notices it, okay? And it's one thing to casually notice that things are out of place and that people are hurting. But Jesus says he came that he might seek. He is actively looking for those who are lost, those who need a touch, those who have been seduced. He's actively looking for those that he might not only seek them, but once then he gets to them, he is able to turn their life around. He's able to bring salvation into their lives. He's able to bring hope where they had no hope. He's able to make a way where there seemed to be no way. Amen? Because he's Yahweh, as John would say. And so we see the story. Now, this is the end of the story here in Luke chapter 19. The beginning of the story starts off with, there's a man by the name of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus has lost his way. Something has happened in Zacchaeus' heart that caused him to be seduced. And as a result of it, Zacchaeus then begins to seek after Jesus. How many of you know when there's nowhere else to turn and you've reached your very bottom? For a lot of folks, it's what it takes for them to get to the place where all of a sudden they go, you know what? Maybe that crazy preacher was right. Maybe that crazy neighbor, Bible-thumping neighbor of mine next door was right. That there is no other way. And Zacchaeus, who is a chief tax collector, was very, very rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but couldn't because of the crowd, for he was a very short stature. So he ran ahead of the procession and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he knew that Jesus was going to pass that way. He figured out about he's coming down this road right here, and if I can just climb up in this tree. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up again. Why did he look up? Because he is seeking those that he might save. And he looked up and saw Zacchaeus in his house, and he said these words to Zacchaeus. Notice he calls him by name. I love a God who knows us by name. Do you appreciate that this morning, that he knows your name? He knows all about us, and he knows us our name, and he calls us by name. Zacchaeus, Jesus said, hurry up, dude, come down. For today, I must stay at your house. Zacchaeus, you might have some issues going on in your life, and everyone else has forgot about you, and no one else is concerned about you, but Jesus says, I am. I am very concerned about you, Zacchaeus. Chief tax collector? I mean, that's worse than going in a lady of the night's house. I mean, it's bad to be the chief tax collector back then. And yet Jesus said, listen, I must come spend some time with you today. And you know the story. Zacchaeus and Jesus interact, and the words of Jesus begin to not to condemn, because Jesus never condemned. Amen? Amen? Do we realize that when we look at the New Testament, Jesus never condemns anybody? But the conviction of the Holy Spirit was sure there. And Zacchaeus is like, whoa, just being in your presence and the words that he had to say. And Zacchaeus says, I'm going to make everything right. And then Jesus says these words, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. See, Zacchaeus' ears got opened spiritually. Let me say that again. Zacchaeus' ears got opened spiritually to the word of the Lord. And those voices that he'd been listening to, saying that somehow if he had just a little bit more money, just a little bit more of that, was going to make him happy. Those voices that have been lying to him, it's the voice of the deceiver. It's the voice of the seducer. Now, we're all born with a sin nature. We know that, right? No one has to teach a child how to be naughty. You heard this story about a 5-year-old brother and a 2-year-old little brother. They're playing, and all of a sudden there's a scream. And mom runs into the room and says, what's going on in here? 5-year-old son says, little brother here just yanked me in the hair. He just like this as hard as he could. She said, sweetheart, he doesn't know that that's bad and that hurts. He's just a little boy. 5 minutes later, she hears another scream. Now what's going on? You said he doesn't know, didn't know what it feels like. Now he does. See, we don't have to train kids to be a little naughty and to follow after our sin nature, because we have it all built into us, don't we? Turning your Bibles this morning, and again, I want to hit two passages of Scripture, two stories. And the one story is with our children of Israel who are possessing the land. And again, we'll be going back and forth between the children of Israel and their way to get to the place, to the promised land where they're at. But I want to start off this morning in 2 Chronicles chapter 33. So if you don't mind opening your Bibles up, 2 Chronicles 33. And we're going to talk about another king. And I think if I read right, John, this king, Manasseh, his mom was Hephzibah that you had taught about a couple of weeks ago. And Manasseh was 12 years old when he was a king, and he reigned 55 years. But notice, but he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abomination of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before. The God had gotten rid of all these abominations. He didn't follow after like his dad did, but rather he decided to be evil. For he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah, his father, had broken down. He raised up altars for the Baals. He made wooden images and he worshiped all the host of heaven and they served them. Everyone say they served them. Just notice every time you see the word serve in the Bible, almost always you could translate, you could take and switch that word out with the word worship. That they served them and they worshiped them. Verse 9, and Manasseh seduced all of Judah. The voices that he was listening to, they caused him to be seduced. And we're that's verse 9. We read it also this way in, I think I have 2 Kings 21 in my notes. 2 Kings 21, 9. God had been speaking his voice over them. God says, this is my plan. If you read the first few verses there before verse 9, you see that God is speaking his wonderful plans. And his voice is speaking over the nation of Judah. He's speaking over this nation saying, listen, I have really good plans. As we've stated before, how many of you know God has good plans for his people? He has great plans for us, church. We don't always understand them. His plans don't always cause us to, want to jump up and down at first. Because we may have to walk through something. There may be some things that God wants us to do. But God has a plan. For I know the plans, the Lord says, that I have for you. Amen? They're to give you a future and a hope. But they didn't listen to God's plans. They didn't hearken to the voice of God. What do we see here today? That there are voices that will drown out the voice of God if we let them. There are voices that will drown out God's word if we let them. If we allow the seducer to come in, and again, here's all he's looking for is a crack. The enemy's only looking for a crack to be able to get in to start speaking into our lives. If we open the door just a little bit, and again, it's amazing to me how many folks, again, when these movies come out that are all the rage and you see all these things, and before I just jump out and go run and see if there's something I should go see, I generally try to look and do a little research. And one of the recent movies that is the rage is a story about this young man from East Texas. And I did a little bit of research real quick. And they dropped the F-bomb almost 70 times. I'm like, I don't know if Pastor needs to be going and filling his heart and his mind and my ears with these words. Sure, it's a great story, but I don't need that story that bad, do I? And yet some folks will listen to the voices and say, you know, Bo, but it's a good story. It's a good story. How much evil is okay? That's what you've got to start asking yourself when you start doing these things is, how much can I allow sin? How much of this profanity and this stuff can I partake of and still be? Here's how I used to preach it when I preached in youth ministry. How close to the fire can I get without being burned? That's the question kids ask me. How far, how close can I get to the fire? How close in a relationship can I get with somebody before it starts becoming harmful? Well, the question shouldn't be how close can we get to the fire, church? It's how far can I get away? How far can we get away from the fire? And God's speaking to Judah and Manasseh and saying, listen, I have these wonderful plans for you. But they didn't want to listen to that voice. And Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. Manasseh gets... Are you seeing a pattern here today? Jesus put it this way. Strike the shepherd, scatter the sheep. That if you can strike and seduce the shepherd, Jesus said, then you will scatter the sheep. He was quoting an Old Testament scripture when he said that to his disciples. You know, we see this seducing, don't we, in the very beginning in the garden, the voices. And God speaks to Adam and Eve. And he tells Adam and Eve, listen, I've given you this wonderful garden. And Scripture says, and every there, every Every tree there in the garden was beautiful to look at. But God said, but hold on for a second, guys, before I let you loose in here. I have one. I have one right there. That's the one I want you to stay away from. Just one. All the other trees in the garden, they're beautiful. They have all the good things. You can have as much of that as you want. But this one, it's the one I want you to stay away from. Got it? Just stay away from this one. Isn't it interesting? What tree in the garden Adam and Eve were drawn to? Of all the places they could go in the garden, they found themselves gravitating over to that tree. And then the seducer comes. And notice what the seducer says. Judy, did God really say? Did God really say? And there's this challenge. Amen. There's this challenge that the seducer always is going to eventually get to. Did God really say these things to you, Eve? And he begins, and again, God created the serpent, didn't he? We read in that scripture, it says that, and then the serpent, who was the most subtle of all the beasts of the field, and of course you can look up that beast of the field and see what that means. He was more subtle of all the beasts of the field that God created. And he comes and he says, you won't die. You won't surely die. God said you'll die. Satan says, the seducer comes to them and says, you won't surely die. See, there's a principle of the first, and there's a principle that we see there from the garden all the way. God has what is his, and it's off limits. Hello? That was God's tree. And God says, don't mess with my tree, because that's my tree. And the seducer tries to get us to come and to take. Now, in Joshua chapter 6, if you want to flip over there, you can just look up on the screen. That's all right. Joshua chapter 6, God's talking to them. They're going to go in and possess the land. And the very first city they're going to take is Jericho. And God says, you know what? Because it's the first city, I'm going to say the first, because it's the first, it's mine. And you can't touch it. It's kind of one of those reasons why, Pastor Harley, I try to, I don't always do a good job, but I try to remind everybody that we bring our tithes and we give our offerings. Because you can't give something that's not yours. And the tithe is God's. And he says to Joshua, listen, when you go into Jericho, I want you to destroy it, and I don't want you to take anything at all because it's mine. This is the first fruit. This is the first city. It's the principle of the first. And you, by all means, abstain yourself from the accursed things in Jericho, lest you become cursed. I don't want to be cursed. But how do you know? When we take what's not ours, there's a curse we open ourselves up to. Lest you become a curse when you take of the cursed things and you make all the camp of Israel a curse. Not only does it affect me, not only does it affect my family, but the Lord says it affects the entire house and the camp of Israel. And it will trouble it because of it. But all the silver and the gold and the vessels of bronze and iron, they are consecrated. Everyone say consecrated. That means set apart. Consecrated is set apart. These are set apart to the Lord because they will come into the treasury of the Lord. Could you be any more clear on the voice of the Lord? Don't think so. And yet the seducer comes into the camp. And the seducer begins speaking to a young man and says, God didn't really mean that. He really wasn't all that being adamant about it. It's okay. No one will notice if you just happen to take a few things for yourself, and you know the story. The next time they go out to battle, they're supposed to crush the enemy. They're supposed to demolish the enemy. They don't even hardly send out any of their troops because this is going to be like, you know, the Cowboys versus somebody, you know. And they get crushed. Israel gets crushed. And they said, why has this happened? Well, someone took something out of the camp that was God's. And it affected all, think of all the lives that were lost in the battle that day. Now, did God make it up to him? Absolutely. God, how many of you know the good news of the message today is that when we cry out to God, when we cry out to him, no matter how bad we've been seduced, no matter what we've done, no matter how many times we've done it, if we cry out to God and say, God, I blew it. Forgive me. Save me. God always hears that cry. He cannot turn his ear to the cry of distress of a humble, true heart, repentant heart. Amen? He can't. Even though, and again, as Kingsley said, listen, it's so easy sometimes to get caught up and you hear these voices thinking somehow if we do this, there is grace when we call to the Lord. I read in the Psalms, the psalmist says in Psalms 120, you don't have to turn there, listen. He says, in my distress, I cried to the Lord and he heard me. Now listen to what he says. Deliver me and deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and a deceitful tongue. Who is that? That's the deceiver. He was seduced and he cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, deliver me. And how many of you know God always gets back to deliver us? Let's finish our story with King Manasseh. It's very interesting. He's been seduced. He has seduced all of Judah to follow after him. And he's laid down this path of evil. I mean, he's laid it down thick. Verse 10, chapter 33 again. The Lord had spoken to Manasseh and his people, but they ignored all his warnings. So the Lord sent, who sent? God. So the Lord sent the Assyrian armies, and they took Manasseh prisoner. And they put a ring through his nose, and they bound him in bronze chains, and they led him away captive to Babylon. Man, is there a more beautiful picture, or it's not so beautiful, but is there a more vivid picture of what it's like to get to the voice of the deceiver and to listen and be seduced and what causes us when we go down the pathway of sin? Now, most of your Bibles, I think, if you have a New King James or something like that, it says that they put him in hooks. Is that what your Bible says? But everyone just say it with me. Ouch. Ouch. Put a hook in his nose, bound him in chains, and led him away to Babylon. There are more folks in Wood County today, don't realize it, they have a hook in their nose, they're bound in chains, and they're being led down the path of captivity. And nothing good comes from going down that path. But you know what? The story doesn't stop there. See, because Manasseh got to that place. How low can you go? Manasseh got to that place where he got about as low as he could go, where he realized, you know what? My dad Hezekiah told me about God, about Yahweh. He told me about his faithfulness. He told me about his love. He told me the stories. I think I'm going to cry out to him for a little bit to see if I can't get out of this despair. If I can't get out of my situation. And isn't this a wonderful few verses? Verse 12. But while in deep distress, Manasseh sought the Lord. I don't think he deserved it, do you? Manasseh does not deserve that type of grace. Manasseh does not deserve that type of mercy. But how many of you know, I don't either. Pastor doesn't deserve that type of grace and mercy either. But you know what? God's no respecter of persons. He's no respecter of people as long as they will do. And here's the condition. So Manasseh sought the Lord and he cried out. How? He got humble. See, here's what James gives us the promise. God resists the proud. Oh, but he gives grace to the humble. That's a powerful scripture, church. To know, as long as we have self-confidence, God says he resists us. But the moment we come to the place where we humble ourselves before him and let him know that it's all about him and not about us, and we have blown it, and God, would you please forgive us? Would you please pull us out of this pit that we've got ourselves into? Verse 13. And when he prayed that type of prayer, the Lord listened to him and was moved. He was moved with what? Compassion. Everyone say it. Compassion. Woo. Thank you, Lord, for your compassion today. Lord, thank you this morning. Your mercies never fail. They're new every morning. The Lord heard him and was moved by his request for help. So the Lord let Manasseh return to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Manasseh had finally realized that the Lord alone is God. Stand with me this morning. I wish as I read this story that Manasseh was so moved by this that he grabbed his son by the cuffs, by his shirt tail, and said, "Son, do you see what I did? I went in the stupid zone, and look what it cost me." Manasseh's son didn't fare much better than him. But his grandson, Josiah, 8 years old. Guess what happened to Josiah? The word that the priest came and said, "Can we read you something, Josiah?" And he began to hear the words of the Lord, the voice of God. And the voice of God began to drown out the voice of the seducer. And when he did, Josiah turned everything upside down. And Josiah is going to make everything straight. And he's going to make Israel walk and Judah walk in righteousness and follow the God. Manasseh didn't deserve this type. Now, Manasseh wouldn't have got there, but what happened? He was seduced by voices. I'm telling you what, we still contend with these voices today, don't we? All the time. Most of it's blaring out from that flat screen something in front of us. And you have to be so selective what you plug yourself into, because again, these voices are trying to normalize sin. Amen? Bottom line is, voices today that our teenagers are having to grow up with, and oh, by the way, I hope you guys don't, I hope it doesn't bother you. You know how Jesus called Zacchaeus out of the tree by name? I'm praying for you guys by name every day. I'm praying for you, church, by name every day. Because it's the heart of God to do that. But these voices that cause us to try to trivialize and to normalize sin, we've got to shut those voices out. And the only way we can shut them out is not turn it on if we can help it. But a lot of times you can't help it. But here's what you can do. You go ahead and grab your word. You grab your sword. Amen. And you start digging in to the Word of God. And you start understanding God's plan for your lives and for that day. And you hear the voice of God every morning starting your day off. That's why the psalmist said, "Early in the morning I will seek thee. Early in the morning I will seek thee. Tomorrow morning, 6:30, guess what? We're going to be in here seeking God for the week. We have early morning prayer here, and I would love to have you come and join us. It's a great time, isn't it, Doug? We've been having an awesome since we've started this. Early morning prayer at 6:30. Come join us and seek his face. Father, today, Father, I thank you this morning for the voice. Begin thanking him for his voice. Father, we thank you for your voice that you speak to us. Father, we thank you today, Lord, that you said that you can silence the voice of the accuser. Father, today we come recognizing the day and age that we live in is very dark. It is very wicked. It is similar to the day and age that Manasseh lived in. And Father, we thank you that you have called us as the people of God to rescue, to help save. Lord, that we see that you came as Savior to seek and to save. Lord, that's our mission also, to seek and to save Wood County, to seek and to save the inmates in that prison, to seek and save our friends in the school. Lord, to seek and to save those that we run into at Brookshire's and Walmart. God, thank you, Lord, that your light shines in our darkness. And Father, we came to that place of salvation. And right now, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you make us aware of those voices, the voice of the seducer, the voice of the enemy. Lord, you make us aware of those voices. And when they rise up, Father, I thank you that, Lord, we are able to drown those voices out in Jesus' name. Every voice of the accuser, every voice of the enemy, drowned out because of the praises, because of worship, because of your word that is rising up in our lives. Father, we thank you for this simple message. Lord, let these seeds go deep in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. If you need prayer this morning, I would love to pray with you. There's some things you might be struggling with, some voices that you've listened to. I would love to pray with you this morning, but I'm so thankful this morning for the voice in the heart of God, because he don't give up. He does not give up seeking and saving. Seeking, saving. Listen, this week I want you to go and seek and save. Amen. Seek and save. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord shine his face upon you. And may the God of peace soon crush Satan under your feet. Amen.